Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 123 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I am your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with an epic Tom Cruise rant, give our thoughts on season two of Mandalorian that just wrapped up, and then we'll move over into tech news with Google getting hit with several different antitrust lawsuits, Walmart and Apple getting into autonomous vehicles, and then a little bit of space news. There's a lot to get through. Let's get going.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and let's get moving on episode 123 here as I guess our Christmas episode.
Yeah, most likely if you're listening to this right now, it's probably sometime right during the holidays or maybe after. You have a 24-hour period to listen to this before Christmas. Good luck.
Yeah, this is a tough, busy time, I think, for everybody, especially in my house. Yeah, I guess it's busy in the world. There's not a lot coming out of news, as you know. We get this Christmas, we get the first real test of what is Wonder Woman going to do over on HBO Max. What kind of numbers are they going to announce or show? I'm going to buy my subscription to HBO Max for the first time and maybe cancel it. I don't know. I'll get a month into it. I'll pay for it. I'll watch Wonder Woman. Geez. I'll crush through some Ted Lasso and some other shows.
You're just going to have to boot it back up. Well, that's not even on HBO Max, but...
What is that on?
That's on Apple.
Oh, I do plan on buying that too, just to watch Ted Lasso morning show. I intended on in the next binging through a couple of these subscription things and then shutting off.
Well, you'll have to fire it back up once the Snyder Cut comes back out.
I might have to. I mean, you know, with the Warner Brothers slate and everything coming in 2021 on HBO Max, it might be something that I, every other month or so,
stay tuned to see if they can squeeze a year out of the cheapest brother I have.
Not going
to
happen. I'll give them 11 months, but I'm keeping 1 month for sure. I'm just curious to see, you know, what kind of support. You know, it's been hit in the theaters already in certain like international markets and early screenings. And it's made a couple million dollars. It's not anywhere gonna get to.
Unfortunately, movie theaters around my house are still shut down, so I have to watch it on HBO Max. I would go to the theater and support this movie if I had the opportunity. I am just robbed the opportunity.
Yeah. So the reviews of it are. Whatever. They're mixed. Plenty I see bad, but I think that's just about every comic book type movie. They're always
generally come with mixed reviews. I just bought Tenet in 4K because I love that movie, and it finally came out on actual disc. I don't just buy the digital. I try to own all the versions. And honestly, it just reminded me of how happy I am that I saw that at the theater. You know, I'm sorry. Like with the digital and everything, I get it. But just some movies are just meant to be seen at the theater. And I'm sorry, like Tenet was for sure one of them. And watching it again at home was enjoyable. It really was. I was really happy to be able to watch it again. I can't wait to watch all the special features and director's commentary. But at the end of it, I was just really glad that I saw it in the theater.
Well, I'll eventually watch it here soon. I intend on picking it up and watch it. But yeah, I'm not going to get the full effect of the movie, but it's definitely something I still
I wish I could talk you into a good pair of surround sound headphones at least, because that actually made the at-home viewing experience that much better, because I have the Dolby Atmos app and then the my headset has the support for Dolby. So it's fully immersive surround sound, like in my dome. and that made the home viewing experience that much better. Like it really does. The score is excellent in that movie. The sound effects, the sound editing. Nolan does all his own sound editing, they say. So like he really takes time for it. And it was worth it.
Well, I'll pick it up. I've seen a bunch of reviews come out this week about Tenet. And I think, I don't know, like people are pretending like it didn't hit the theaters a while ago and there was opportunities for critics to give the reviews. I've seen a ton of like brand new reviews come out and most of them negative on Tenet about why it doesn't work and why, and
it just makes people's heads hurt. And people don't like to have their head hurt when they leave a movie. They want everything wrapped in a nice little bow for them.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking about the movie theater industry, and probably we can just go into the best story of the week, which was the Tom Cruise audio, leaked audio that came out of him just F-bombing and laying into crew members on the set of Mission Impossible 7 over in London. And it's just entertaining.
It was like... And the causation of why he flipped out and just the way he did it has like everybody on, you know, both sides of the fence of reactions to COVID and things like this. So it's just invoked like all these feels. You know, some people are championing him as like the lead Karen of the world right now, and other people are just telling them to sit down. You know, I have to side with the sit down people after, you know, it was pretty epic. But from the rumors that I saw of why he wigged out, like it wasn't like, you know, the way he wigged out, you would think there was like 8 maskless grips in a corner jerking each other off or something. and like it was literally 2 dudes wearing masks
watching a
computer screen not 6 feet apart, and he lost his shit. Like it was, you know, you're just like, really? Like is this the tone? Like I just kind of feel
bad for him that like his Napoleon complex has just led him to believe that he is the savior of the movie theater industry.
He is Jesus of the movies right now. This dude is a straight martyr. Like it was like he just propped himself up so high and he was not gonna let anybody take him down. Like,
Mission Impossible 7 is gonna be the one that everybody's waiting to kick down the doors of their local theater and bring back that movie theater industry. And it's like, no, I mean, I respect the sentiment of how serious, I guess, he's taking his job and his role in, you know, providing jobs to people and propping up the industry, that it's about more than a movie and it's about the jobs and the people and whatever else. Like, that was in his rant. And I find that a respectable outlook to have. But dude is so misplaced.
He went so overboard on the delivery. So overboard on the delivery. Like,
I mean, I love all the memes and nonsense that comes out about like the fact that, you know, they just got completely just shout at by a dude telling them to trust the science, wear the mask, protect themselves from a dude who believes that aliens blew up and dropped us on this fucking planet.
That to me is the best part, because like I didn't even put that together till I saw like that the Onion article, or it was like Babylon Bee or something. You know, it was just like, you know, man screams at people to, you know, man who believes frozen aliens were dropped into a volcano tells the world to believe the science. Like, you're just like, oh Jesus. Like, I didn't even put it together until I read the headline and I was like, Yep, this is that sums up 2020 the best I could possibly ever give an example for.
Yeah.
Like that is just the perfect like cherry on top of 2020. Like you got like 9 days to top that. Good luck.
Yeah, it is an absolutely wild rant. Crazy sentiment coming out of him. And I whatever. Got it. Mission Impossible 7.
Well, it just amazes me how many people. Yeah, it just amazes me how many people are like championing this. Like, because they just like Tom Cruise just tapped into like their inner monologue at the grocery store that they just wanted to do. Absolutely. And they couldn't do it. Like every lady with bad highlights and a bob haircut just like. Tom Cruise just tapped into their inner soul and let it all out. And like, they just feel like they got it all out of their system now too. Like, it was just so funny. Like, it's just the cherry on top of this horrible, horrible year.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it was like the next day, then they posted like the headlines were that, Tom Cruise, and then they decided to call it a wrap until the new year. They're taking some holiday time off. It's like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bullshit.
He's got some
right now.
He's got
some renegotiating contracts right now.
He's got some union reps. He's got some union reps. He's got to do.
Oh. Yeah, right now people are renegotiating contracts, pulling permits.
And yeah, Tom Cruise is about to get sued for a volatile workplace.
Like, yeah,
I'm telling you, if I was on that set, me and Tom Cruise gonna have some big problems. There ain't enough lifts in your shoes that are gonna save your ass for talking to me like that. I'll tell you that right fucking now. Fuck you and this movie, okay? Steve Dove ain't going out like that. I promise you that.
Well, I'm just thankful that one of the crew members just had the mental capacity to pull out the cell phone and just leave a voice memo note on there, yeah, and like, capture it for the world.
That has to be some millennial.
How many times these things happen and you never get
to know. I think that's our generation. I don't think we're on the quick draw for the audio file or the video. This new generation, bro, they got some kind of shortcut to their thumb to where it's like instantaneous.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah,
it's this is what I'm waiting for Neuralink for, to where I could just think for my phone to start recording it, and it automatically does, because I am not fast enough to catch that audio.
Yeah, problem is that means all your kids are going to be doing that every time you're losing your shit at home too.
Oh man, I just had to teach Grandma how to DoorDash today. I was a fucking TikTok video waiting to fucking happen. Are you kidding me? you want to see a dude lose his shit? Like, try to teach my grandma how to use DoorDash.
All right, well, I think we can move on from this terrible topic here, and let's go. Let's last piece of real entertainment, because not much happened in this week. Mando wrapped up. It's done for 12 months. Doesn't come back until December 2021. Season 2, weeks pass. I don't know. Are we talking spoilers here?
No, we're going spoilers. If you ain't watched it, if you ain't watched it right now, I don't feel bad for you.
I think Mando seasons, whatever else, and the spoilers that did come out essentially like
the day of.
And I didn't end up getting time to watch it until I think it was Sunday. And I just had to I didn't even check our Facebook group. I didn't do anything because I just knew all the spoilers were out there. Even like news article headlines.
Well, every Friday, somebody in the group would post like a, oh my God, new episode of Mando with like a shocked GIF. And I just have to be the first one to comment in the comment section, like, no fucking spoilers. Like, I just had to shoot that warning out first off right away, because you just know that somebody's just going to come in there hot, giving away all kinds of shit in the comments section.
And this is why I'm still a big believer, and I love the weekly release of shows, even on streaming services.
Yeah,
because if they just dropped all 8 episodes on Netflix model and just dropped it all at once, I'm not watching that in a single day.
No.
I'm not watching that probably in a single week.
No.
And then it would be impossible for me to survive without knowing exactly how the season ended before I got there.
Yeah, and people's need for that like 5 minutes of attention because they were the first one to post about something is just mind-boggling to me. Like, it literally released Friday morning at 4 a.m. You know what I mean? And like Friday morning at 9 a.m., people are posting about it. It's like, I get it, bro. You got that kind of life. You could stay up to all kinds of hours. You ain't got nothing better to do the next day. Like, I envy you. I do. I really do. But I got kids to feed. I got a job to go to. I'm going to watch it at night when I get home. Give me 24, bare minimum. I like standard should be 48, but at least give me 24 hours.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it worse than with Mando.
No. Yeah. Like, at least, people had a little bit more respect for Game of Thrones and other shows, but Mando.
Yeah, I never saw it as bad with any of those other shows. Like I said, even down to the point that, like, if you're just scrolling on like your Google News feed or whatever else, there's articles that have it just playing out in the headline.
Well, confident in having a spoiler mini discussion now, just because Mark Hamill himself tweeted out about his appearance in the final episode. Like, you don't blame me. You send that shit to Skywalker, okay? Like, you send that shit directly at him. Like, if he's putting it out there, then what the fuck? You know, because you for sure ain't following me on Twitter, but you probably following Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care. I think we need to go into deep analysis on Mando or anything crazy, but I mean, overall, it's a strong show with like that is saving Star Wars for me.
So the second season was great. You know, they advanced the overall plot enough. They had enough side stories to keep every episode interesting. Introduce some classic characters, you know, from other canon that really ties in the Star Wars, you know, animated universe to the regular canon. Like, they did a lot of good things. My fear with them invoking Skywalker and R2 at the end and everything like that is now we're getting into some murky waters.
Yeah.
Are they going to use a highly successful show like Mando to retcon and put a nice gloss on the turd that was the Skywalker saga?
Yes.
Which is...
And they already started to, right? Like, you could already get the hints of them using Grogu's blood for the cloning stuff, and, like, that's going to explain away how they created Snoke, and, you know, which... Like, they're already starting to play that game.
So I had a client that's really into Star Wars that we started a job for today. And the minute I got on the job, instantly, he wanted to have a 15-minute conversation about Mando. And the way I kind of put it to him today, which he was like, actually, that's a really good analogy. I feel like what's going on with Mando now is like when you teach your kid how to ride a bike and you first take off the training wheels. And you got the seat and you got them running and you set them free with that first send off and you have that giant like level of excitement yet giant level of fear all at the same time. Like, that's how I feel right now. That second your fingers leave that bike seat and your kid is on its own for that first time and you're just so excited that they're doing this, but you're also deathly afraid that the thing you love most in the world is going to take a deep dive fucking face plant right into the concrete. Like, that's what I feel like Mando is now. First two seasons, training wheels, invoke the Skywalker saga. We're letting go of the seat right now. And I'm deathly afraid that we might take a nice concrete face dive.
Yeah, I mean, I think just based off of the timeline that they're in, I don't think you could avoid the Skywalker tie-ins throughout, like at some point in time. It's got to fill that gap. Well, it's got
to
bridge that gap.
So to me, they got 10 years, right? So right about where the timeline's at, Rey and Kylo kind of have to be born. So during the movies, you figure Rey's probably what, 18? You know, Kylo's probably 19, 20, maybe. You know, they're young in Force Awakens. So if Kylo's going to get trained by Luke and slaughter every existing Jedi at that point, that's probably 15 years from where we're at. So as long as Grogu gets out in like 10, 12.
I mean, dude's still a toddler 10 years from now.
Yeah. So they have a good 10-year window to play around in the Skywalker era without really having to dive or address what eventually happens in the Skywalker saga. You know, so I'm hoping they just play a little loose with the movie references, but never really go too deep into it. Because then once we get really married to the bullshit of 8 and 9, I just don't fuck up my show. Like, this is what I got.
Yeah. But I mean, if I'm going to put my faith in anybody here, like Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, like I think they have proven that they are respecting what is canon more than anybody that has put together things for. They're following everything incredibly well. They're even, you know, they're bringing in other aspects of canon, but bringing it in cleanly.
See, I said the same thing about JJ, because I'm a big JJ Abrams fan. You know, he did a lot of great things before this. Once Kathleen Kennedy got her fingers on JJ, like, there wasn't much he could do about it, you know? So I'm, you know, it, I'm still a JJ fan. I still think his overall work is great, you know, despite what happened with the Skywalker saga. Like it's I don't know, man. I don't think that even Favreau could squash the you know, the power that Kathleen Kennedy and Disney overall have on him when it comes to, you know, making this shit in season 3 or 4 if it goes the way they want it to go.
Well, I mean, it clearly, like, Kathleen Kennedy and Disney, like, the first order of business that they had for him was expand out your shows to as many spinoffs as possible. Like, you know, the fact that we, you know, already the week prior got the Investor Day, and we heard about the Ahsoka and the, I can't remember the New Republic show, the other spinoff coming out of the Mandalorian time
frame. Yeah, and now we got the Book of Boba.
Now you got the Book of Boba, and
which is just the biggest fucking biggest. Are you still hating Boba? It's just the biggest fucking fan service thing you could possibly do. Boba is a bitch. He's a bitch. He died from a blind fucking Han Solo. He was in nothing in the movies. He had like 5 lines. He just had a cool costume, and kids loved his toys. So all of a sudden people are like, we need to make more money. We need to make this dude a badass. How can we do this? Write a book. Write a book and make people read a book about it. And now that it's canon, like, whatever, man.
Yeah, I'm still skeptical of the whole Boba storylines. But, I mean, whatever. I can't remember the name of the actress who's essentially his henchwoman. She's great. Like, whatever.
I
mean,
I always liked her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, it's good to see she got work again.
You know, she's playing the role of his little henchman here. He's, you know, slightly old and out of shape and
I know.
Still
whatever. We got,
you know, can't wear armor pants anymore.
we got Boba the Hutt. Like,
and I love how, like, I don't know, Boba's just kicking around for years. What, he couldn't go get his armor from Timothy Oliphant, from the sheriff on his own.
Yeah.
Like, he had, this is what I'm saying. He literally doesn't retrieve his own armor, and then Mando gets it, and he hunts him down across space to go find the armor as a badass. It's like, hold on a second here.
You could have just, like, the village that his armor was in, you could have destroyed with Slave One at any moment. At any moment.
Yeah.
You know? But no, he's wandering the desert like some fucking monk waiting for a Mandalorian to come rescue his armor. And then once he gets his armor, now I got my power back, you know, and it's just funny. As a man in his 40s who is way past his prime, I did appreciate Dad Bod Boba, though.
Yeah. And I do like the actor too. Like, I appreciate that they got the same actor that played
the clones. Like, it's timeline accurate.
Not just that they got, but I like him, and I like the way he acts it out. Like, I'm good with it. And like I said, I don't know, I still like what they do, even like how angry, like, you know, Bo-Katan got the second she heard his voice, and like, just really, like, I think the way they're playing it all up, it works. It's just
It's just that he died like a bitch in a Sarlacc pit from a blind Han Solo. That, like, what's the line, like, Boba, and like, he turns around and he just it's like, that's how he got taken out. And then, you know, years later, I'm just supposed to accept that he's this badass motherfucker that deserves his own show, and like, nah, save me with that bullshit. Just save me with that bullshit. No thanks.
Yeah. Well,
I'm gonna watch it. Don't get me wrong.
I was gonna say, well, we're gonna get a lot more Boba in 2021, as there's just gonna be a slew of Star Wars shows coming out, all to be spoiled by everybody on the internet.
Send your Boba Fett fanboy hate fucking mail to steve@thenerdcantina.com. And I will post it and ridicule you in public.
Yeah. Now that the season's wrapped up, you should just reignite a Fight Me Friday in the group on Friday, and just shitpost all of your hate on Boba and let all the supporters come out.
Should I feel bad that the actual actor died this week and I'm just shitting all over Boba Fett?
No.
Because I have a friend that actually got me an autographed picture. I do have an actual autographed picture of Boba Fett addressed to me, and my buddy just got it to me out of spite. he's like, look what I waited in line to get you today, and he gave it to me. I was like, you motherfucker.
that's called trolling with love there.
No, it's called trolling in the 80s. All right, let's get out of entertainment.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about some tech stuff. Not a ton, but first, really, the only real big story was, what was it, last week we talked about Facebook getting their antitrust lawsuits. I think everybody knew that they were coming after... They're coming after everybody at this point. They're at least the top, you know, the big four companies. And now this week, Google gets three different antitrust lawsuits filed against them, each of them having multiple states and federal agencies tied into it, as they're all essentially going after Google with the same lawsuit, just filing it separately as different groups here. And the lawsuit is antitrust, just blaming non-competitive practices from Google, specifically focused on their mobile division and then preloading Google search, prioritizing Google search on mobile devices, which most search traffic nowadays is done through mobile, and it's put them in a position where nobody can.
I find this to be kind of funny because it's like, one state initiated it, and now like everybody's coming to like kick the bully. Oh, are we doing this today? Like, is today the day we stand up? Oh, yeah, I'm in this too. File our lawsuit. You know, like, we are stronger together in numbers. Nothing's changed in Google for how many years? They could have done this at any point in for the last years. You know, but now's the time. Now is the time.
Yeah, I mean. With the multiple hearings that they've had, and then the most recent one was the competition, the hearing all about competition. There, everybody knew it was coming, when it was going to happen. I don't know, maybe they just needed to file it before the end of 2020. I don't know why they needed to rush it now, but in the end, it was absolutely expected. And yeah, here we are. This is another one of those things. I don't know how they're going to win these. I don't know how they're going to prove, or I don't know what really the end goal is. Like with Facebook, we know the end goal is they want Facebook to divest out of WhatsApp and Instagram, and they want to break up their monopoly. With Google, what are you trying to break up here?
No,
are you trying to?
There's just a lot of congressmen looking to get big paydays to their campaign funds right now. That's all that's going to amount from this is we're going to see a bunch of posturing and some good sound bites on C-SPAN and 5 million split up between 30 congressmen donated to their campaign funds. That by the end of this that's all that's going to happen.
Yeah, I that's what I really look at with the Google one. I don't know what you're going to do that's going to stop Google at this point in time. You're not going to get them to divest out of anything. I could see them trying to make a case against like YouTube being, you know, YouTube is one of the, you know, google.com is the biggest search engine. Like YouTube is what, number two? And they still own that as well. The way they prioritize their own practices, like, so maybe you can get them to stop hiding. Like one of the big files complaints is like other search engines, like Angie's List and stuff like that. Like, well, Google will just bury it. Like you don't see that pop up in the top results or whatever else. And they do hide other competitors that people can go to directly search for results. So maybe they can force Google to stop doing that. I don't know. But
I own a business. So we've been playing around with my Google stuff, and it is just plain apparent that you have to pay these people. You want your business noticed. You want your, you know, whatever to sell. You gotta cough up a few pennies, man. Doesn't matter. They don't even give a shit if it's a lot of money. But you better give them that $10, or you better give them something. You know, they're gonna come grab you by the ankles and turn you upside down and shake you for your change. You know, it's crazy.
So more will follow on this one. Same as, you know, the Facebook antitrust suits. And when I say more to follow, I mean, I don't know, over the next 2-3 years.
Yeah,
like these are the kind of things that Google will completely stalemate this process. The government doesn't move fast anyway.
This is a really big problem. Let's deliberate about it for 3 years while we continue to let them do what we're actually worried about.
Yeah, and so we'll cover it as actual hearings and things take place. But right now, the lawsuits are filed, and I don't know. Let's see what happens. All right, in other just big companies that, you know, can be non-competitive. Let's talk about Walmart first. And we've got the Walmart talking about having their first driverless trucks making deliveries starting in 2021.
I mean,
it's fast. Yeah, that's
well, we knew this was coming. We've been talking about this for a few years. Like, they're not just going to sit in the beta, like little test driving, like, you know, roadway forever. Eventually they're going to put these motherfuckers on the road and start cutting out jobs. And yeah, like, especially COVID has ramped up all AI and robotics investments. Next year, man, you're going to be driving on the highway and you're going to, some kid's going to give the honk the horn symbol out the side of the window and there ain't going to be nobody there.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is going to happen in Arkansas as the test bed. If I was a state governor, I'd absolutely be like authorizing these things and just letting these companies come in and start testing on my roads. Like 100%. Like, come here, pay me to do this. But yeah, you can go ahead and test your autonomous driving. So they've already been testing it in like some small routes between like fulfillment centers, but now they're looking at doing it as actual like neighborhood deliveries, delivering from store to store throughout Arkansas. And this, it's going to be something that they can achieve. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that this is going to work for
them. I'd be more okay with it if there was one of those sensors on the side that could pick up that little kid and actually honk the horn for him. Like, we got hundreds of cameras and sensors all over this truck so we don't run things over. Give me one sensor looking for that arm pump. I'll be all good.
These are smaller little box trucks. So when they get to full semi trucks, but these are smaller, like almost like U-Haul truck, delivery trucks that they're using. But no safety drivers, nobody in this at all. Just a full-on autonomous truck operating by itself, authorized in
Arkansas. Yeah, once all the bugs get worked out, the size of the vehicle matters nothing anymore. It's just working out the bugs.
All right, and then another news in another massive company. We can talk about Apple and their weird announcement this week that they're going to start car production by 2024.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, the iCar. Is that what you think it's going to be called, the iCar?
Yeah, is this a market Apple needs to be in? I don't understand.
I'm not going to lie, like the car app features, so when you plug your iPhone into the car and it integrates all your apps on there, like I don't have a newer car that has that. I rented one when I went to California to visit you, and I'm not going to lie, it was kind of cool just having like everything on my phone completely integrated into my car screen and everything. I can only imagine the features that an actual Apple car will provide for me.
Yeah, no, I mean, for sure. I'm sure whatever they put out on the road, it will be interesting. It will not be affordable in my eyes, I'm sure also. Like, that's another thing I can probably bet on. But they're counting on the fact that they're going to really heavily invest in LiDAR sensors, LiDAR systems coming out of there so they can go full self-driving by 2025. They are really focusing on this new battery that this is what they're really like trying to make their linchpin on. This is having a radically new designed battery that is going to so drastically cut the cost of batteries. And essentially, you know, when they what they want to do is when they produce these batteries, essentially, it's just being made for their cars and is going to give them that leg up on the industry.
Well, energy storage is the future. You know, like we have multiple ways of generating energy at low costs and better for the environment. We don't have many ways of storing this energy. So if you really want to make a change in the world and make a lot of money doing it, invent a battery that can hold the, you know, enough power to power cars, power homes, power, you know, airplanes. Fucking eventually we're going to want everything on batteries. So start digging up that lithium, figure it the fuck out.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see 2025, or they're looking at production by 2024, delivery and actual use of the cars in 2025. So I'm sure, again, it's Apple. If they opened up pre-orders today, they'd be sold.
Oh yeah.
For their first year run of 50,000 vehicles, or probably 20,000 vehicles. I'm sure they don't even scratch 50,000 in that first year. So yeah, if they opened up pre-orders today, all of them would be sold. No question.
I mean, the car industry has had the Apple model for decades, you know, release a new version the next year that's barely different than the version previously and expect everyone to fucking buy it. Apple's been doing the same shit with their phones that the car industry's been doing for years. Their business model falls right in line with the automotive industry. Hey, here's a new model. We put some thingy on it that you didn't have before. Come buy it again. Give us your monies.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can move on from these vehicles and these companies, we can do a quick update with some of the hacking stuff. And really, it's not to go into great depth. We did for a while talk about that big SolarWind hack last week. Gave our thoughts on that, and we're really looking at trying to have a dedicated conversation with somebody who actually knows what he's talking about on these hacking topics of all the ransomware, SolarWind hacks, everything that really 2020 has kind of emerged as kind of forefront news.
Yeah, we did a Cantina conversation with our white hat hacker friend, Bill Clay, and we've been in talks with him. So we'll have another Cantina conversation coming up with him shortly where we really try to crack the egg on this and wrap our heads around it. And Bill's pretty good at dumbing down these things for us.
Yeah, so let's we'll hold off on really talking about SolarWind and everything else for this week or for this new segment here. But we can talk about, dummying down some hacks. President Trump had his Twitter account hacked. It's one of the best Trump ways of getting hacked. His password was just guessed by some Dutch hacker who essentially turned it over right away. So the government was starting to try him, but they're actually calling him more like a white hat hacker in the sense that he didn't in any way misuse the president's Twitter account or do anything with it. But he guessed his password.
Did they give the password away? Like, do we know what the password is?
It was lowercase MAGA 2020 exclamation point.
Oh, you can't get like, yep, seems legit. Like,
yeah, the guy who's declaring conflicts and, doing international relations and stuff through his Twitter account has his password incredibly easily to guess as MAGA 2020. Like, it's phenomenal.
How do you hack the president's Twitter and not do at least one tweet,
because he'd go to jail. Like, that's why.
I mean, really, would you though? So the
Dutch government has stated they have actually pretty strict laws with these things.
So it's Dutch law, not talking and American law. Okay, so Dutch law, maybe.
He's getting prosecuted as a hacker. And
I was gonna say, how do you not drop like a Baba Booey? just post a crazy gif or something, man, because now it's not even worth the jail time he gets.
So I don't think he's gonna get any, but the latest like press announcements was they're looking at just exonerating him as a white hat hacker. It is within Dutch law to hack systems and report it as like bug bounties or reporting it as in a helpful sense. So they're classifying as that, since he didn't tweet under the president's name, he didn't do anything or modify settings or anything else. All he did was get through. Of course, the president didn't have two-factor authentication on. So just with the password alone, he was able to get into the Twitter account, and then he turned it over to the authorities.
My Twitter wasn't hacked. I have the greatest passwords in all the passwords. We use the best passwords in the nation. The greatest passwords you've ever seen. Unbreakable, uncrackable.
So, it's 2020. It's great. There's just some things that, like, honestly, you couldn't write this into like a presidential sitcom any better than real life at this point in time.
This year has like lowered the bar of expectations of just normalcy for the rest of my given life. There's nothing at my age now that would shake 2020 off these bones. I'm carrying this shit to the grave.
For sure. I'll be telling my grandkids about 2020 for sure.
I'm so glad we do this show because I will not remember half of the shit I should tell them. None of it. What was 2020 like, Grandpa? And I'm just gonna go over about masks and Karens and stuff, and I'm gonna forget these beautiful gems of our the leader of the free world's password just being guessed by a rando Dutchman. I mean, he's got an iPhone. Like anytime I make a password, it gives me like a suggested like crazy cryptid one. Of course, I bypass that and I put my own in because I don't trust that it's actually going to save my password and I'm not going to have to go through that again. But you could do that if you wanted to. Nope. MAGA 2020 exclamation point. You gotta fucking love that.
All right. Well, more greatness coming out of the federal side of the U.S. government here. And let's just jump into space news real fast and talk about Space Force. We've been waiting for it. They took in nominations.
Hold on. Save the good one. We not only skipped one more of our automotive stories, but it falls right into our fuck China segment.
Oh, yeah, it's true. I did skip that one. So, all right, well, give it to us.
We got
to
be able to run the theme song. Hit it.
Oh, that's not happening this week. But yeah, this one is all about a company that is, they're calling it a Tesla clone. I don't know how to say this company name. What is it? Xpeng? Zpeng?
Zhengpeng? XI is Z, yeah. You know, so.
But it's just X.
Zpeng. It's just, yeah, X, I don't know, man.
Peng.
Nope. Yep.
So don't know.
I'm white as fuck.
But yeah, so the founder of this company like openly admitted that everything he's done has been influenced by Tesla and their open source patents, and they have just been gobbling up every one of the Tesla patents that have been free to use. And this was what Elon, you know, when he first started doing this, he was all about just driving and advancing electric vehicles. So he made his patents open source. And
China's about that life. China is about that life.
They said, oh, I don't actually have to backdoor into your system to get your patents. Like I could just have them. Okay.
You know, there was a couple depressed Chinese hackers that were like, aw. I was looking forward to hacking him.
Yeah. So this company is, I mean, essentially they're copying everything down to the autopilot features, the actual like instruments and the
yeah, it's hard to hate on China for this. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not mad.
Elon put it out there for the world to do it. It's sad that China is the only one really taking him up on this. Everybody else feels like they can do it better on their own. And like China's like, nah, Teslas are dope. We're gonna make one too.
Yeah. Well, I think I would bet that like Elon is probably not all that mad about this.
No.
Like, yeah, maybe to some degree. But in his mind, he'd just say, like, all right, China, get on board with electric vehicles. Yeah. Like, stop being a massive polluter. Like, this was the point of the open source patents. What he might not like is the fact that, like, it's not staying in China, and they're exporting these vehicles now to Norway, to other European countries.
Well, you couldn't expect that, like, to not happen either, though.
So they're now a direct competitor in markets that Tesla intends to operate or is already operating in. So in that regard, like, Elon still probably go with it.
Shareholders might not be.
The board members and stuff. Meh, they're probably not excited.
Well, I am a shareholder and I'm okay. It's all good.
So yeah, definitely. Like I said, I don't look bad at China on this one. They didn't do anything that that's even shady in this regard. So all right.
On to the happy story.
Okay. Yeah. And now we can go space news. Let's talk about Space Force. Space Force. You know, they didn't have a name for the members of their service. I was shooting for space members. I just really wanted space members out there. I didn't win in the competition for naming. And they unveiled that the names will be the Space Force Guardian. So you've got sailors, you got soldiers, you got airmen, you got guardians.
I love it.
I hate it so much, but
fucking Guardians of the Galaxy, bro.
Yeah.
How do you argue with calling our space servicemen Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, that's a win. It's a win.
It's terrible. It's so terrible. It's so bad.
It's such a win.
It is so bad. But whatever. I don't know. You know, if you're the 18, 19-year-old who was trying to go into Space Force, I don't know. Like, is this a recruiting tool for you, or is this like a big eye roll from younger people?
If you got
like
a big Star-Lord tattoo, for sure. You know, how many assholes sign up, and the minute they walk onto the base, they just go, "I am Groot."
Yeah, I think it's terrible, but whatever. We now have the Space Force Guardians.
We got the motto too.
Yeah,
Semper Supra. Sounds like a fucking,
always above.
Sounds like, yeah, sounds like a fucking dope ass anime yell. Like, I've been watching the shit out of One Piece. Anytime I read it, I hear it in Frankie's voice. So, Senpai Super! Like, I pictured it anime all day.
That one makes sense too, because it's Latin for always above. So, you know, all those nerds who will actually never go into space and they're just going to sit here at their desks on the ground, they can always just, you know, wish and hope for their time above and their support in the space world. I mean, I get it.
I'm gonna low key talk your son into becoming a guardian at some point.
Dude, if I wasn't too old, I'd be in the space world. there would be zero hesitation from me to go to the Space Force if I could do it.
I'm gonna start planting the seeds in little Bub. He's already huge into space.
Oh yeah.
I'm just gonna start sending him Rocket Raccoon dolls. Like just subliminally put it all that shit in his dome.
I'd have absolutely no problem with that. So all right. And then last little bit of, I guess we can just wrap up space news. Amazon, you know, they're testing their Kuiper satellite internet, and they were able to stream 4K video coming out of a satellite with their whatever their prototype antenna is, which is much smaller than the Starlink and like home based antennas for actual usage. And one of the impressive feats of this is that it was 4K video. But they don't have low Earth orbit satellites that they're using. So this was actually just a normal, like, geosynchronous satellite that is 20 times further from Earth. And they were able to do 4K video with these prototype antennas from that. So low Earth orbit should have much higher bandwidth, much higher capability. So it's a good test for them. I don't know.
Anything to get me away from Comcast, man. Anything you can do to make to give me the ability to just call up customer service and give a good old fuck you, I'm out. Like, oh my God, I would love it so much.
Yeah, no, I'm good with it. So I want satellite internet, whoever it comes from. I'd prefer it to be Starlink just because, I don't know, I don't like Bezos and I don't like Amazon. But whatever, whoever can bring viable broadband internet from the sky, I'll take it. All right. That's Week in News. We did it. Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas.
and to all, yeah. Talk to you next week, I guess. In the meantime, give us a Christmas present. Go ahead and, I don't know, share an episode, subscribe, give us a review.
Yeah. We always appreciate the support. Thanks for listening. And we hope you have a happy holiday.
All right. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.